Praise Yahweh. Welcome to everyone. Thank you, Deacon Gary. I have before me the prayer list, and we'd like to keep these individuals in mind today and also throughout the week. Elder Eugene Rogers, Elder Dick Vail, Hap 2, Roxanne Garcia and children, Charlie Pelton, Alice Finling, Dolores Plazek, Lauren and Joseph, Jacob Miller, Wayne Cruz, Sandra Getz, Jim Still, Cindy Gustian family, the Zia Vu family, Augustus Paul, Elder Roger Meyer, Elder Dick Vail, and Teresa Green. Let's go before Yahweh's throne. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, our mighty Father, Creator of all things through Yahshua, we are very grateful to come before your throne. It was only through Yahshua that we were able to do so. We give you thanks for this day that you've set apart for us to come and worship you and to be obedient to your word. May we walk in the light of your word and to do those things which are pleasing to you, here or outside of here, wherever we are. For truly, if we are your people, you will be within us and help us to live our lives according to your will. And maybe walk in your spirit and in your word and in your truth. We ask your blessing upon those on the prayer list, not only ours here, but those around the world that are seeking you, that are in need of your help. May you reach down and touch them to heal them as only you can. Through Yahshua the Messiah, we ask this and ask for your blessing upon this service, upon this message. May it be a helpful message. May it be an enlightening message. May it help those that hear it. And may we all hear the words you have to tell us, and that you have to say to us. All glory and honor belongs to you. Through Yahshua the Messiah, we ask these things through his name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, we're here today on a special day. It is a Sabbath day, and it is set apart. It is a holy day. And as the people of Yahweh come together, we are to come together not on just this day, but other days as well. And today I'd like to talk to you about some of these other days, the feast days. And certainly we know of the seventh day, the command to come together and congregate on this day. But we are not to forsake our gathering together. Let's go over to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 25, where we read that we are to not neglect our coming together, as is the habit of some. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, well, let's go up to 24 and read through 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And certainly we see things out in the world as becoming worse and not better. Even though we have technological advances, we have more crime and more troubles than this world has seen for some time. But we are called out, and we are to do certain things. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. This has been called the Constitution for the Coming Kingdom, and indeed we need to be paying attention to these words today. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 says, "Be humbled, you, and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might test you. That he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." Now, this isn't just Old Testament. This is New Testament, because it's quoted more than once in the New Testament. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, we can just go there and look. Matthew 4 and verse 4. This is Yahshua's own words. Yahshua said this in the New Testament. And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." This is for our admonition. This is letting us know that we're not to just forsake the things out of the old, because this is what they had in the new. And they had something like over 200 quotes in the New Testament of the Old Testament. What they had in the new was the old. Now there is, of course, Yahshua, who is our sacrifice. We seek Yahweh through his mediation between us and He. But there are things that we need to do. And then 2 Timothy. I just want to touch on a few of these because I think sometimes, you know, maybe this is, as I've heard said, preaching to the choir for us here. But there are those that will be hearing this on tape, rather on video, media, maybe on the internet, on audio. Maybe they haven't heard this before, and they need to hear it. They need to know that, hey, this, the Bible says to obey, not just to have faith. In 2 Timothy, the pastoral epistles, as they're called, letters to Timothy and Titus, give instruction. This is Paul speaking. He says in 2 Timothy 3, now, Paul knew the law. Paul also said, "Follow me as I follow the Messiah." Didn't he? He says it in 1 Corinthians 11. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. We'll take a look at least one of the things that Paul did. But 2 Timothy 3, probably already there already, 3 and verse 16 says, "All Scripture," all of it. What Scripture did they have? They had the books of the Old Testament. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." Are we called to be a righteous people? You better believe we're called to be a righteous people. And we have unrighteous, we're in an unrighteous society. We're in a worldly society. And Yahweh says that we need to be a light to that unrighteous society. We need to be lights, not covered up, but put like on a lampstand to be shown. Now, it's not to show and to give glory to ourselves. It's to give glory to Yahweh, to show the people that there's a better way. There's Yahweh's way. And it's a way that's going to be implemented fully when Yahshua returns. What does Revelation say? Revelation is revealing. Revelation 14, verse 1. "When I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." Is knowing the name of the Father and of his Son significant? I think we all agree that are here. Maybe some that will listen to this message may want to consider this. In fact, I think you will want to consider this. Maybe you've not heard this before. But having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Verse 12, skipping down. "Here is the perseverance of the saints, those who are righteous, those who have accepted Yahshua as their Messiah. These are the ones who keep the commandments of Elohim, of Yahweh. And their faith is in" who? Yahshua. So we have faith and commandment keeping that is to be done. I want to go over all these because there are some scriptures that aren't readily heard in most churches today. And we don't really call ourselves even a church. We call ourselves an assembly because as an assembly we are a people. We're not to take that lightly. Leviticus 23. We will find that there are a number of days that Yahweh sets apart. And one of those first days that are mentioned is the Sabbath day, the day that we're in right now. And it says in starting in verse 1, it says, Yahweh spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, Yahweh's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. And he lists them. Verse 3, For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest. A holy convocation, a holy gathering, a set apart time for gathering together and worshiping. And of course, one of the first things we read today was, we are not to forsake ourselves gathering together. And there is a commanded convocation to come together today and worship. There are others as well. It says, You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. So even if you're not here, you are to be keeping the Sabbath and be doing what is needed to be done. But with all effort and perseverance and overcoming the world, we are to gather together as best we can. Now, not everyone is here in Missouri. There are others around the world. And we do the best we can. And Yahweh understands. But Yahweh wants obedience. He wants our faith in Him through Yahshua. And He wants us to be obedient to His Word. Exodus 20. I've been keeping the Sabbath for a number of years, and I've had some difficulties with the Sabbath, and you will have difficulties with the Sabbath too if you're sincerely keeping it according to Yahweh's word. There are certain things that we cannot do on the Sabbath day, such as work, and you may have problems with an employer who says, This is the busiest day of the week. We need you here. And that will be maybe a temptation for those that are just now coming into this and starting to understand, hey, there are things we're supposed to be doing. I was never told this before. But we have to be committed. And someone new coming in, and I was new at one time coming in, and I had to make a decision. And I have told more than one employer, I can't do that. I cannot work on this day. And there's blessings. There are blessings for keeping this day. There are blessings for keeping all of Yahweh's days. In Exodus 20, Exodus 20, it is one of the most neglected commandments in society. The fourth commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 8, notice it says, remember. Are there things that we are to remind ourselves of? Why are we given days throughout the month that are throughout the year? Are we to remember some of these things? Are we to keep our focus on Yahweh? Are we to help others learn of the same things? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Do I need a reason? It says right here, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He's the one that did it. Not David Brett, not any of us. We're here because of Him. Do we agree? It is special. It is listed among the Ten Commandments. Yahshua even said He is the master of it in Matthew 12 and verse 8. I might just go there real quickly. He said Himself, For the Son of Man is master of the Sabbath. Now, some will point to that and say, well, Yahshua, you know, when He's out in the fields picking grains, He said, you know, basically by doing that He was showing you could break the Sabbath. What? Huh? I don't understand that. I don't see that in Scripture. Scripture says that Yahshua was perfect, and that he was a perfect example for us, and that we are to follow him wholeheartedly, because he did his Father's will. And if we are to be called brothers and sisters and be in the faith of the true mighty one and in his Son, we have to do what his Son did. And his Son was willing to give his life for others. Are we willing to do that? Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4 and verse 16. Are we to walk in Yahshua's footsteps? And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He didn't go in there and say, "What are you doing? I've changed the day. I'm changing the day. You don't have to come on the seventh day in worship." No, he didn't say that at all. He certainly tells us to keep on the seventh day in his word. By his own example. Luke 4 and verse 31. I just skip forward to Luke 6 and verse 31, which happens to say, "Treat others the same way you want them to treat you." That's a good one. You know, Yahshua brought everything up to a higher level in when talking about the commandments. He said, "Yeah, you're not supposed to commit adultery, and you're not even supposed to think about it." Brought it all up a level. But going back to Luke 4 and verse 31, it says, "And he came down to Capernaum in the city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath day." Yahweh still teaches his people on the Sabbath day. The Jews, which are just one tribe of Judah, or just one tribe of Israel, I should say, they learned that they should be keeping the Sabbath. You know, that Babylonian captivity, they learned we better keep the Sabbath. So you can go back to the New Testament times and just trace history back then. Yahshua was keeping the Sabbath day. The Jews at that time were keeping the Sabbath day correctly. Yahshua didn't have to correct them on that. He corrected them, though, on the way they kept the Sabbath, because they added to it. They actually took away from it, made it, you know, they neglected it by putting their own laws into it. We're not to obey our own laws, we're to obey Yahweh's laws and his way of doing things. Luke 6, verse 6. "On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered." And then a big discussion came. You know, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to destroy it? Because they, you know, the Pharisees were making a big deal about, you know, their rules about on the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't wrong, but their rules about the Sabbath were wrong. Yahshua didn't say, "Hey, what are you even doing keeping the Sabbath? I've come to do away with it." He didn't argue with them about keeping the Sabbath. They were to keep it. And he said, even on keeping the Sabbath, what's good to do on the Sabbath? And he healed the man. He said, "Stretch out your arm," in verse 10, and healed him. And he can heal us too. There's a healing that's going on as people come out of the world and come into the faith and are baptized in Yahshua's name. There's no other name. Acts 4:12 says it clearly. There's only one name. If you look at the etymology of Jesus, Jesus, you know, it looks like they had a valiant try in getting Yahshua's name transliterated over into the Greek, but the Greek doesn't, you know, didn't allow it. You know, their rules in writing up the language just put a, you know, like in the Latin even, to put an S on the end. If it's masculine, can't bring over the sh sound. They just put an S there. They didn't have an H to put there. That's a message for another time, but there are these things that we need to be aware of. Now, there is Passover that was brought up today in the scripture reading that we do each week. And the Passover is something to be remembered as well. Let's go over to Leviticus 23 where it's mentioned. Leviticus 23 and verse 5, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is Yahweh's Passover. It's not my Passover. It's not your Passover. Well, we keep it together, so in a sense we're keeping the Passover. But whose Passover is it? It's Yahweh's Passover. Does Yahweh love us? He gave His only Son that we might have salvation. But it's through Him. It's through His sacrifice. And Scripture clearly talks about the Passover lamb as being referring to Yahshua. And so we have these things that we need to understand. But what has happened over the years? I was looking up in a dictionary on the word Easter. And it mentions in Acts 12, verse 4, the King James Version says Easter. And they even said, that's a weird translation for Passover. It's not a translation for Passover. It's a covering up of the actual day that is to be kept. Now, it's not a feast day. It is an appointed time. And it says that we are to keep it. It says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is Yahweh's Passover. And we are to keep it as it's a memorial. You know, as people out in the world today, they, and sincerely, I believe many of them, try to keep Easter as an observance. But we're not to observe Yahshua's birth or that sort of thing. We're to observe His death. Why? Because it's what He did for us. And we need to keep that in remembrance. And for those that are not, they are in disobedience. And they are lawless. And Yahweh says that the lawless, it will not go good for them. So for those that Yahweh calls, He gives us information, He presents it. He opens up our minds, our hearts, to believe it, to understand it, to know it. And that's why we're here. As soon as I started understanding, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I better do that. He says, do it. And you all have the same experience. You came to a point where you realize, hey, this needs to be done. And so, we're here. And others need to know it as well. 1 Corinthians 5:7, it's found in the New Testament. The observance, mentioning of the Passover, it's not just some Old Testament thing. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. It says, clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Messiah, Passover also has been sacrificed. Clear reference to the Passover. And Yahshua's involvement in that today. About the days of unleavened bread. You can reference that here in verse 8. Therefore, let us celebrate the feasts, the feast of unleavened bread. Not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Remember, we talked about Yahshua bringing things up to a higher level. We're to be walking on higher ground. And He said, yeah, Adultery? No, you don't do that. Not only do you not do it, you don't think about it because it leads to it. And we're to be a spiritually minded people. You hate your brother? You ever have ill thoughts? Sometimes thoughts come. We have to take a hold of them through the power of Yahshua's, through Yahweh's Spirit, through Yahshua, and cast them aside. Because Yahshua warns us we're not to be hating our brother. That, in fact, that is actually murder. In the spiritual realm, in the truest sense of the word, you can actually kill someone without actually doing it. Very serious stuff. Let us celebrate the feast then, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul knew we need to bring things up. We need to make sure that we do things right. He followed the Savior. We are to follow Him as He followed the Savior. He did certain things. We're to do certain things. Yahshua was the first fruit. Leviticus 23 and verse 5. Leviticus 23 and verse 5 says, let's go over here to the wave sheaf, down in verse 12. Now on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect. Let's back up to verse 11 here. You shall wave the wave sheaf before Yahweh for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath, the priests shall wave it. Now what is this wave sheaf? What is that talking about? Back then, of course, it was an offering, the first fruits of the land. And now we have, though this isn't a commanded convocation, it's in a sense not a feast day, but it has relevance for our lives, and it gives us understanding if we can grasp it. 1 Corinthians 15 in the New Testament. Paul relating some information here. He even calls some of this a mystery because people don't understand it. I think we here understand it. There are going to be those that hear this that sort of understand it. Maybe you need to read through some of these things a bit more. Pray to Yahweh for His understanding. And that's a key. Don't pray for a new understanding. Pray for this new understanding if someone's coming in new to this. But pray for Yahweh's understanding, revelation. Don't believe what I'm saying up here unless it's backed by Scripture. And you, out there, back it up with Scripture. Because Yahweh gave this for us as a manual for our lives. And it's something that we can't just leave on the shelf and expect to know how we're to, run our lives, our households. It's all here, how we're to be. And then we come into a deeper understanding. We come into the spiritual realm of Yahweh and Yahshua through immersion, through the laying on of hands by the eldership, and to receive of that Spirit to help us to draw close and to be intimate with our Father and His Son. Yahshua desired us to be one with Him and His Father. But how can we be one with Him and His Father if we don't keep His Father's commandments? First Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Messiah all will be made alive. not all now, but you know, in the sense that that Yahshua's return would be all, everyone. There's going to be what's called first fruits. And verse 23 it says, "But each in his own order, Messiah, the first of the first fruits. After that, those who are Messiahs at his coming." Verse 45 says, "Also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Can you imagine being transformed, being changed into a life-giving spirit? Because Yahshua's, it says, Scripture says, that we will see him as he is if we overcome and have his spirit. If we're in Messiah, in Yahshua, then we will be like him. We will see him as he is. And ultimately, that's a goal that we have to keep in mind, to be with him in the kingdom, to be a part of the plan of Yahweh. And what these feast days show is that plan. Let's go over to Acts 20. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. You know, there are some amazing things that happen on feast days. One of the more significant ones that has happened is the Spirit being poured out. Acts 20 and verse 16. And, of course, well, actually, let's go to Acts 2. We'll go over to Acts 20 a little bit. But Acts 2, we find the account in the New Testament where the Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. It says, "When the day of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, had come, they were all together in one place." Now, we read that we're to come together in one place, right? Why were they there? They were there being obedient to the Father. What about those that weren't there? Did they receive the Spirit? It doesn't indicate that those that weren't there received it. Those that were obedient, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit was given them utterance. So the others there heard in their own language. There's about 15 different nations, literally, that had come there, individuals out of those nations that spoke different languages, different regions. And they had heard in their own language what was being said. Verse 11, "Cretans, Arabs, we hear them in our own language, our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of Elohim. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? And boy, am I glad I kept the Feast of Weeks this year." That had to have been some of their minds, don't you think? So it's important to come and keep these days, and they're not to be neglected today. Let's go over to Acts 20 now. Acts 20 and verse 16 says, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying." He was in a hurry. For what? "To be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." He's also one that recognized that, hey, this Feast of Weeks is important. It's commanded. You need to be there. We can go back to 1 Corinthians, or over to 1 Corinthians, I should say. 1 Corinthians 16, where again it is mentioned by Paul. 16 verse 8. It says, "I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost." And he never preached against the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, as it's been brought over in the Greek. But he kept it. He knew the words of Yahweh. He knew what needed to be done. He certainly didn't teach against Yahweh's law. Let's go back into a prophecy that's mentioned in Ezekiel 36. I hope there's enough time on this DVD today to get all this. And I hope you don't get weary by going through some of these scriptures, but it's very important to see what is going on and what Yahweh has being worked out. Because when we look at like days of unleavened bread, it's a time for reflection, remembrance of the Exodus, and to think about removing leaven from our lives. In fact, hold your place here and let's just go over to Matthew. I don't think I went to this. But Matthew 6 and verse 12. Well, it says here, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. That's not the one I was wanting, but nevertheless, the Pharisees had leaven in their lives, and it came out in wickedness and evil, and they transgressed the Father's laws. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Master, Master,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." This is not, it's not flamboyant wording. It's not, you know, a parable to be, you know, hidden. It's something that's plain. It's a plain statement. "He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Master, Master, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Righteousness? No. Lawlessness. The breaking of the law." They were fully... these people that he's referring to that will not enter into the kingdom are full of leaven, full of wrong and malice and wickedness and incorrect teachings. And so, during the days of unleavened bread, we are to consider our doctrines, our understanding of Scripture, which isn't really our doctrines, it's His Word. We don't want to make up our own words. We want to follow the words that lead to life. Ezekiel 36. In 26. This is prophecy. This hasn't fully been completed, but it's in the process, I do believe. Verse 26, it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." At the day of Pentecost, was this not happening? "And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." We've been accused of being legalistic. We're not legalistic. We're obedient. Those that are legalistic are the ones that come up with their own rules and regulations for things like the Sabbath and other parts of the law. We're to be obedient to Yahweh's law, not make up our own rules. "But I will cause you to walk in my statutes." This is Yahweh speaking. "And you will be careful. You will be careful to walk, to observe my ordinances." And so we receive help today. Yahweh Yahshua in encouraging us says, you know, look, I'm going away to be able to send you a helper, the Spirit of Yahweh, to guide you, to bring to your remembrance some of these things. So that when we start to do something, maybe we shouldn't be doing it, we'll be reminded to not do that. And we'll back away from that. Or if we go to something else, Yahweh Spirit will help us to understand, hey, that's not right. Of course, we have to go over these things and be reminded and to read the Scripture and to keep these days as a reminder to do these things. And it's been said, you know, this is kind of like preaching to the choir. But doesn't Yahweh preach? He goes over these things yearly with us. He has a reason for that. So the Spirit is given to help us to walk in His ways. The Spirit first poured out. Now, you know, the feast days, like the days of unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks. Well, in fulfillment, these have, in a sense, been fulfilled. At least we're going into a transition area now when we come to the Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets now is something that we have not seen a fulfillment in the New Testament. So what should we be looking for in trumpets? Well, I think we get the answer in the New Testament, actually, in Revelation 11. And also another spot we'll go to, but let's go to Revelation 11. And keeping in mind, you know, those that were at Feast of Weeks, if they had not been there, would they have received the Spirit? It was very important that they were all gathered together there in obedience to Yahweh. What happens if we're not together on trumpets, being obedient? On Revelation 11 and verse 15, starting there, it says, the seventh angel sounded. This is prophecy yet to come. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Master and His Messiah, and He will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat on their thrones before Yahweh fell on their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, We give you thanks, O Yahweh, Elohim, the El Shaddai, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Do we want to miss that? Do we want to miss the rulership of the most powerful being in the universe under Yahweh? I don't think so. Yahshua's return, trumpets, is what most scholars believe as well today. And I think we have that understanding. Let's go over 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. Actually, 51, talking about the mystery. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And sleep is wording for, like, being in the grave. It's a idiom for that. But in 52 it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How quick is that? That's pretty instantaneous, isn't it? At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Those that are alive when He returns, if we're in Him, we will, in the twinkling of an eye, be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Imagine having immortality. Now, sometimes we live our daily lives, and it's not such a great time at times. We have difficulties, we have struggles, and we're not promised everything's going to be just rosy at this time. But we are tested, we're tried, and we struggle. And as we see Yahweh bring us through the struggles, we are encouraged. And many times we wonder if we can bear it. Can we take it? And we have to do just that, because it says that those that overcome. You read in Revelation 2 and 3 about the promises of those particular individuals that he's speaking to, about them overcoming. Not just the assembly in general, but the individuals within those particular groups at that time. And I think we can relate those to us. Not everyone here is necessarily going to make it, but those that overcome will. And so we need to do everything we can and be very careful, as Ezekiel 36 talks about, being very careful to be observant and do those things which are pleasing to Him. But there is a resurrection coming, and that is a blessing to know about that, part of that mystery that Paul talks about. Well, that's trumpets. That's yet to come. And though we are going through a bit of atonement, in a sense, there is still an atonement to come. Leviticus chapter 16 talks about Azazel, or a scapegoat, which is interesting to look at that, and then also to look in the New Testament to see what might correspond with that. But in Leviticus 16 and verse 21, we read about the scapegoat. It says, Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat to confess. Now there are two goats, mind you. There's one that actually its blood was shed. And it's up here in verse 15. He shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. But over here we have a different goat. In verse 21 it says, going on, and then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all the transgressions in regard to all their sins, and he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. That's interesting. Let's go over to Revelation and verse 20. Starting in verse 1. Keeping in mind this man who stands ready in readiness and on the goat. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed after these things, for he must be released for a short time. Could it be that the scapegoat is, in a sense, referencing Satan here in the New Testament? And that the man who stands ready is actually in reference here as an angel? Well, some of these things are not too clear, but in atonement we find that it's a time of reconciliation and prosperity, of course, in the kingdom, and bringing at one moment the people with Yahweh, Israel. Yahweh is still working with Israel, not just Judah, which is one tribe, but the lost tribes, which have been assimilated into the nations. We here may very well have Israelite blood among us. But Yahweh promises, even the eunuch that keeps my Sabbaths, it's his Sabbaths, even the eunuch can be brought in and be blessed by Yahweh. Feast of Tabernacles, which comes shortly thereafter, atonement. Let's look at Leviticus 23. We actually read that we are to remember a little bit of the past in keeping Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus 23 and verse 43. Again, remembrance. Why remember? Can't we just have faith and, you know, be all cheery and just love one another? there's some things that we have to remember and keep in mind. And yearly, all the time, we have to, and each Sabbath we come, it's each week we come together and worship and look into His Word. And of course, during the week we study and we read and we pray and we lift up those that Yahweh is working. Well, I shouldn't say that. We have to appeal to Yahweh, I think, for others. We have this prayer list today that we read. We need to keep these individuals in mind and pray for them throughout the week. And in a sense, we are more united in that, but certainly the Spirit unites us. And where one hurts, we all hurt. Leviticus 23 and verse 43. Speaking of the appointed times, verse 37 says, these are the appointed times. Again and again it's mentioned, even in verse 44, appointed times. They're special, they're set apart, they're made holy by Yahweh. Leviticus 23 and verse 43. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, in particular, you shall live in booths for 7 days, all the native born. Israel shall live in booths, temporary dwellings, as we understand it, verse 43, so that your generations may know that I have the sons of Israel live in booths, that I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim. We are sojourners. We are in this land, but we are sojourning through it. We're not laying our roots down deep into this society and into the things of the world. We're building up a relationship with our Father and His Son, who is coming and establishing a kingdom that is everlasting. And it's a kingdom, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that, not for what's here in this world, for what's to come. And these feast days give an outline of what is coming. I mean, some things have happened, things we need to be remembering, but some things that are going to happen as well. And with the Feast of Tabernacles, it's also a time for looking forward. Revelation 20 and verse 4. Of course, you read where it talks about to Yahweh, you know, a day is like, or to us, a day is like 1,000 years to Yahweh. And, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days. And so it looks to be pointing to that time let me back up. We understand that it is a time of 1,000-year period. And not to get sidetracked too much, and not to go with the scriptures I don't have written out here, but Revelation 20 and verse 4. Now I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of the beings of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Yahshua and because of the word of Elohim. Again, that Yahshua, the faith in Yahshua, the word of Yahweh, the commandments, those things that we're to be keeping. And those who had worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark of on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Those that will be brought into this, from the dead, brought into the coming kingdom with Messiah. And it says, notice here in verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of Elohim and of Messiah and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And where do they reign? Revelation 5:10 says they're going to reign on earth. And there's no rapture. You read of that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 through 17. But we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which helps us to remember the past, but also points us to the future. We have the last great day, which also points to the future. In John 7, verse 37, what did Yahshua do on the last great day? Of course, he kept the Sabbaths. But in John 7, and verse 37, gives an account here of Yahshua even speaking on this day. Of course, it was a commanded gathering. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now, there's going to be a great white throne in judgment, and we read about this in Revelation 20 and verse 10. Starting out, it talks about this going through verse 15. It says, "And the devil who received them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." They'll be destroyed, in other words. That's Hebrew idiomism. You can see eternal life, even our eternal fire, being mentioned about Sodom and Gomorrah. In Jude, verse 7, talks about that. It's just a Hebrew idiomism for total destruction. But it says in verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, and from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds," according to what they had done with what they knew. There are some that have not heard of this message. There are some that have no clue about a Savior, and yet they're going to be resurrected, and they're going to be told, and they're going to be given an opportunity, I think a first opportunity, to either accept or deny Him and Yahweh's ways. Verse 13, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead and which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds," again, according to what they had done. Some things are just obvious, common sense. You just don't do certain things. Even our law of this land is established by the Ten Commandments, Yahweh's instructions. Verse 14, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, I admit that my understanding of all this is not necessarily crystal clear, but what we do understand, I think what we understand, is the last great day is really speaking of the great white throne judgment. It's pointing to that time. It's pointing to a time when people will hear for the first time a message of the Father and the Son. And it is a time that some will not make it. They will not be written in the book of life. And they will not accept Yahweh's way. They have rejected it in this life even. And there are those that have taken the Bible, closed it up, even after being immersed in Yahshua's name, they've put it on the shelf and said, "I'm done. I've had enough." What is their faith? Destruction. That's what Scripture says. So it's no light thing to come into this faith, to be given the understanding that we've been given, to know that we are to walk in Yahweh's statutes and judgments, and to keep His appointed times and His feast days, the seven annual Sabbaths. We're not to take it at all lightly, because once we're given this understanding and we receive of His Spirit, if we give it up, and, I mean, we can give it up because we can reject Yahweh afterwards. It's a death sentence, basically, after you do that. So are these days important? You better believe it. What is Halloween, Christmas, Easter, and others like them? They're nothing but traditions of men compared to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles, and the like, that are given to us by Yahweh. You know, pagan is pagan. Ishtar, Easter, the Christmas origins. You can look it up in any history book, any textbook, encyclopedia. There are other resources. And they speak of these things as being of pagan origin. What did Yahshua say to the Pharisees that were making up their own rules, taking things away from Yahweh, away from the law of Yahweh? It wasn't good for them, and it wouldn't be good for anyone else that does the same today. Why did Yahweh establish the annual feasts? They are the prophetic plan laid out for us today. We need to be reminded year after year so we can be encouraged to stay focused on what really counts in this life. That is the future life that's coming. Now, Hebrews 10:12 talks about we are not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Deuteronomy 8:3, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4 says that we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture, we only have the Old Testament Scriptures in the New Testament times, is profitable. It is all profitable. Of course, we look at the New Testament and get a deeper understanding of Yahweh's Word. We walk on higher ground, led spiritually. Revelation 14:1 and Revelation 14:12 talks about the names being important, talks about the law being important, talks about faith in the Messiah being important. It's all important. This book has gone through a lot, and it's still here for us. Now, there are some things that have been stamped in here that stamp over Yahweh's name, stamp over the Savior's name. They stamped Easter over the Passover, and they've done other things to it. But there are translations out there that have been restored with the names, the proper, feast days, Passover there, not Easter. So these things are available and readily available for those that want them. So for those that ask, please share. Let us help one another proclaim Yahweh's word as He leads us through Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen.